Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the 16th Sunday after Trinity, is entitled Our Lord's Compassion, and is written by the Reverend Canon Wallace C. Shields. Jesus went into a city called Nain. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Nain was a town 6 miles southeast of Nazareth, on a hill along the southern edge of the plain of Ephraim. Nazareth was in the hills on the north side of the valley. There is an ancient cemetery outside of the modern town of Nain, which is on the site of the first century Nain. Here, this town of no special fame or note, we see Jesus' compassion for a widow and the loss of her only son. If we look through the four Gospels with the Lord's compassion as our theme, we can see that his love and concern for us extend over the whole range of human life, to the secular as well as the sacred, to personal and family matters, to the workplace, and to our responsibilities in all of life, especially as they relate to moral and human issues. Jesus had compassion on this widow whose only son had died. The opening words of the collect for the 11th Sunday after Trinity emphasize this quality of God when clearly seen in his Son. O God, who declarest thy almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. He had pity with power, as has been succinctly noted. Here in this episode, we see his compassion for a widow and her grief and loss. Her husband had died sometime in the past, and now her only son. In addition to the second and very sad personal loss, she had now been deprived of her means of support, and the family name was probably going to end with the death of her son. Jesus had compassion on her. He was not deterred by the ceremonial pollution that would result from touching the dead. He put his hand on the bier and spoke the life-giving words, Young man, I say unto you, arise. The young man sat up and Christ delivered him to his mother. It was a foretaste of the resurrection of the dead and an outstanding example of our Lord's mercy and kindness. We see that same quality shown in his ministry to the sick. St. Mark reports a healing in the synagogue at Capernaum on the Sabbath. Our Lord's reverence for the day did not hinder him in the expression of his compassion through a healing of a demoniac. That evening at sundown, that is, after the Sabbath was over, says Mark, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered together about the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. It is a vivid and moving scene of the Lord at work to help the sick and diseased. Christians have followed his example in their ministry of the sick, and in their recognition that the healing work of the medical profession finds its ultimate source in the mercy of God. At the feeding of the 4,000, the second miraculous feeding, St. Mark stressed Jesus' care for the hungry. He said to his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. The second evangelist also points out our Lord's concern for the spiritual hunger of those who were coming to him on another occasion. Jesus saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. and he began to teach them many things. Our Lord's compassion included both body and soul, that is, the complete human being. His mercy reached out to the people and their families. It encompassed the young couple in Cana at their wedding dinner, faced with the embarrassment of the wine running out before the festivities were over. It embraced children who were brought to him for his blessing. The disciples tried to discourage this, but Jesus was indignant and told them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. His compassion included women, for those who were married could be divorced by their husbands for almost any reason, for some indecency, according to the book of Deuteronomy. A marriage could be ended by the husband at any time, but Christ said that matrimony entered into as God intended it to be was not to be broken except by death. It was, as St. Paul later wrote to the Ephesians, a union analogous to that of Christ with his church. He is concerned for us in our work. He spent years at work making a living with his family and himself before he began his ministry, and showed, as someone has pointed out, the utmost fidelity in the more limited tasks of family duty. Limited, that is, as compared to his ministry, which was to all human beings in its effect. Because he lived and worked in this world, a new spirit in the workplace is possible through him. Some time ago, a newspaper article reported on envy as a factor in the workplace. It was a depressing account and showed clearly the need, at least in some places where people work, for the spirit that was in St. Paul's advice to the church in Corinth on their attitude towards others. It is a spirit of Christian compassion and charity which suffereth long and is kind, which doesn't envy the success of others, nor does it try to selfishly to promote itself or seek its own advantage. His sympathy is wide because it rejoices with those to whom success comes and is compassionate to those with troubles. The Christian in the workplace looks at things there from an entirely different point of view, from the selfish and self-centered. By God's grace, he approaches the moral and human issues there from a Christian point of view and in the spirit of compassion, which his master showed to those around him. Jesus had compassion on her. He does likewise with all who turn to him. May the compassion which we receive from him lead to the same attitude in us, and in imitation of his examples, to acts of kindness and mercy to those around us. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.